Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's up, everybody? What's going on? Dave Destruction Sturcio here with another installment of Destruction 101, episode 32. It is Wednesday, August 23rd, as you are listening to this. And I'm coming off a little bit of a one-week vacay from the podcast. I've only done this twice since we've started. Started this on January 5th, I want to say, whatever that first Tuesday was in January. Started my podcast there and have been moving on and going and going, and I've had some legendary conversations. I've had some pretty cool things happen. We've exposed a ring announcer. We exposed that bigot down in Maryland, who I've not heard from. And not that we've talked, I'm saying like I haven't heard anything from him. I wonder if he's even still in the biz, as they say. I hope everybody's enjoying their week. I sure am. I've been enjoying these last 2 weeks since I've been off, so there's a lot of things to cover, things to talk about heading into a huge, huge weekend for the fans of mixed martial arts and boxing, as we are... Well, it's Wednesday as you're listening to this, so Thursday, three days away from the super fight of the century, super fight of history between Conor McGregor and Floyd Money Mayweather. Very excited about this. I should be joining my friends over at the War Room, which is simply put somebody's basement turned into literal town hangout. If you've never seen pictures of me posting it, it is something to be said for these guys who put... it's actually really cool. It's a cool story. I'm not going to drop their names or anything like that. You can do the math based on people who comment on my Facebook posts. But two brothers lost their father not too long ago. His father was actually one of my coaches in football when I was younger. And they left him money. And what they did was they basically turned an unfinished basement into a local bar, a local place where people can come and join and have a good time. He's charging $10 at the door, which I have to talk to him about that, see if I get a little pass. I'll help to the cause, because we also have a friend who comes in there, and he is the cook. He's got his own little cooking business, his own little, what do you call it? Why can't I think of that word? What's that word? What's that word when you cook for something? Catering. There you go. Catering, Dave, catering. Saturday night, the big fight coming up. But again, things that have gone down since then. WrestlePro has put on a show over in Staten Island. The following night, Battle Club Pro put on a show in Brooklyn. And since then as well, SummerSlam NXT has happened and came and went. And just a lot of stuff all piling in. And we're all getting set and jacked up for our huge, huge show on September 9th. At the Rahway Rec Center, featuring Ryback, Colt Cabana, Bobby Lashley, AR Fox is in the house, Joey Janela taking on Tommy Dreamer. So we have a stacked card coming up. We're just a couple weeks away, which means I'm a couple weeks away from being 32 years old. So my birthday is September 10th. If you want to give me gifts, that's cool. I accept everything. Cash donations are also accepted. Or you can just do me a solid and subscribe to this podcast. Download it, share it, tell your friends, and just let everybody know that Dave Sturcio is a decent podcaster. Special shout out to a student of mine who shouldn't be listening to this via the graphic content, but I was texted. I get a text from the mother, who's a teacher at my school, and sometimes he'll grab the phone and chime in. So shout out to my one of my favorite students. I'm not going to say your name on the air because for, you know, safety reasons. But I will see you in September. Obviously, one, for the show. And two, I am going to be with you all year long as your paraprofessional. So I'm excited about that because we are going to talk so much wrestling that our ears are going to just bleed. We're going to so much. But don't worry, he will get work done. So if you think you got a pass, buddy, you're not. So I got the official letter the other day from the Board of Ed saying that there was an official thing that I was going to be with him. So shout out to his mother for pushing for that because I know that, you know, she saw how well we got along and it really helps the days go by. Even like I had some of the troubling students of that school last year for as being a one-on-one paraprofessional and it drove me nuts. But every time I saw my little man, you know, at the school, you know, he gave me a two sweet and, you know, he always turned my spirits around. So seeing him every day for the school year, I think is going to be pretty cool. So shout out to my buddy, a future destructor. Football is on the horizon. It is here. Preseason football has begun. But before I touch on all that, obviously, let's rewind. You know, I like to talk about things that are obviously relevant in the wrestling world right now and the sports world. As we, like I said, we are at fight week as far as McGregor and Mayweather. My money and my rooting interest is behind Conor McGregor. For the sole purpose of a lot of people just don't see him winning or don't have a chance. I actually watched an interview with Floyd Money Mayweather Sr. on The Herd on FS1. And one, whose idea was that to put him on there because I couldn't understand a word he was saying. Not because of like language, but like just like he was so far away from the microphone. And, you know, those old school guys, they just have a different way of talking. And it was just hard to decipher, like, what the fuck are you talking about? But he was excited that they switched the ounces of the gloves. He said it benefits Connor. I mean, benefits Floyd. I don't see it that way. If you're asking me who's going to be the faster of the two fighters, I think Connor, because of his youth. I mean, he's a lot younger. You know, only by a couple years, but like just statistically, Floyd Money Mayweather is getting old. You know, he's 40. Is he 40? No, he's not 40. I don't even know what the hell he is. I truly don't know how old he is, but he's been around the block. He's been doing this for a long time, and he has not lost. So the gambling men that are being safe are going to put their money on Mayweather, and the people that want to make a couple bucks based on how much you want to bet will take Mayweather. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm sorry, McGregor, but I'm excited about that fight. A lot of people are calling it just a, you know, like a stunt show or like something that nobody really cares about, but I care about it because it is two worlds crossing, and I think it opens up the doors for multiple super fights like this. Not necessarily like, you know, boxer versus MMA. You know, a super fight, catchweight fight between Brock Lesnar and Jon Jones. I mean, that would be billed as a super fight because they're completely two different weight classes. But Jones, you know, has, as I said and agreed, that he would, you know, gain the weight, you know, be a heavyweight. But it'd be a catchweight fight. So he'd probably pack on a few pounds, walk around a little heavier. And Brock Lesnar is a fucking animal. And, you know, I'm very, very happy how SummerSlam played out. And I'm excited about what they're doing with them, him and Braun, because that's like a battle of two juggernauts. I've always been a heavyweight fan. I've been, you know, as far as MMA, wrestling, bigger guys, because I'm a bigger guy. So that's going to interest me more than, you know, said cruiserweights or flyweights or anything like that. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, some of it's electrifying and it's some of the coolest shit you'll see on TV. But at the same time, you know, it's everybody has their flavor. So yeah, so Mayweather McGregor this week. It's like I said, I think it opens doors for a lot more of these type of fights to happen. So I'm excited. So backtracking, trying to stay relevant, we did put on a great show in Staten Island, New York. We benefited the NYPD that night. Great performances by everybody involved. I got to do the ring announcing, and obviously, you know, for the first time ever, I stood in the middle of a ring during the national anthem. I mean, as minuscule as that is, it's one of those things where it really made me happy because I was just part of something big, especially around all these officers of the law and all these heroes that are patrolling our streets, you know, keeping us safe. So I've always been a fan of the blue. I've been a fan of all of our armed forces. So I guess that's why for some odd reason, you know, when things go awry and you start reading about all this negativity and just, you know, that's why you need to take a break sometimes and just totally clear your head and not think about anything, you know, negative. So yeah, that show came and went. Chris Payne came out to the bagpipes and the NYPD bagpipe team. That was awesome. And then Drew McIntyre did it at NXT. So, and I talked to Hawkins. I said, look at this. It's stealing our shit. But anyway, so yeah, so that came and went. It was a great event, great crowd. I was like 300 people in the middle of a football field. So it's like I can't get off the football field, even if I tried. But then the next night, Battle Club Pro in Brooklyn, New York, we navigated away from the Bronx. Shout out to Carlos Aristi, who gives me the opportunity and gives me the platform to be a little creative. You know, he lets me be the commissioner. And, you know, like I said, an on-screen role, it's cool. It's very, it's Shane McMahon-ish, and I've always been a Shane Mark and a fan of, you know, the corporate team and all this other shit. And it's just not so much being heavily in-ring involved. So what happened? Oh yeah. So Battle Club Pro comes and goes. I did a great commentary job with, Morales, Money Morales, and, we really killed it. Shout out to Mark Adam Haggerty, who made his debut on commentary for tier one. That's another story. He made his debut for, the Wrestler's Lab. And once again, shout out to the Wrestler's Lab because they had a sold out crowd who knew they were on first. It wasn't like these kids were trying to get there early for their seats. These guys packed the place, and they stayed for Battle Club Pro. So Wrestler's Laboratory was first, and they did a great job. They really did. I'm very proud of those guys. Between Sweeney and I believe his name is Ruiz, both of those guys do a great job. So and I informed them of this great job that night. And I also informed them that they are the poster boys of Bad Wrestlers Exposed. So, which again, we know who runs it now. If you're in the fog and you don't know who runs it, well, let's just say that it's somebody that WrestlePro no longer affiliates themselves with. And, you know, for whatever reason, he has this vendetta against Rob Fury and the SWF. And he also, for whatever reason, just whoever runs the damn site, you got to get some kind of life. You really do. I mean, I listen, I'll be the first one to tell you. Sorry. I'll be the first one to tell you. That, and I've said this multiple times on multiple podcasts, that I'm not a fan of untrained wrestlers getting exposure and getting, you know, just inserting themselves into the business. But if you listen to my interview with Grimm, you'll understand that some of these guys do have training. Some of these guys are in it to really try to bring their love and passion to professional wrestling in or outside the ring. So, you know, to expose somebody like this, you know, the guys from Wrestler's Lab or whatever. And then fans, like, look, I'm friends with JP Mayer. I'm friends with the Soriano girl and Ronnie and all those guys. They do a great job supporting all products across the board. So what the hell are we picking on fans for? You know, like, it doesn't make much sense to me. I don't know what they did, you know, to piss off the people that run the website. But it's just childish. It's just very silly and just not a fan. Not a fan at all. But the show starts, we get treated with a lot of great wrestling. Listen, I'll be the first to admit, I have to catch up on NXT and just really be more involved with the indie scene and things going across the seas. I didn't even watch the British Classic thing, and everybody was like, how can you miss that? So I really do have to get back into the groove of watching wrestling, and I'm telling you right now, SummerSlam and NXT that just passed really makes me a fan again of wrestling. Not that I was never a fan, but just, you know, sometimes you just get burnt out and you just feel like, okay, I need a refresher. Well, that was my refresher. Seeing all the action, the pops of the crowd, you know, just it was just great. And on top of that, you know, it was kind of cool to see the Barclays Center filled with fans of professional wrestling and knowing that I was there. Just a short time ago doing my first performance for the Brooklyn Nets. And then, you know, I was there for the finals on July 31st. So it's just pretty surreal that everybody that's talking on the mic and you can hear their voice echoing, obviously, in the PA system, that I was doing that too. So very cool thing. I just one of those things. And no, as I'm recording this and my phone is on loud right now, so if you hear anything, it's only because I'm waiting. I have not heard anything yet from the Brooklyn Nets. I did get an email last week from their PR department. This girl who I've met twice now, she emailed me on Monday checking in with me to kind of make sure I haven't lost my mind yet, which I haven't. Like I said, very excited about everything. Even if it goes south and I don't get the job, it's one of those experiences that I'll never, ever forget. I understand experiences don't pay the bills or experiences don't get you the jobs. But at the same time, it's one of those things where, did you do it? No. Are you listening to this right now? Did you have the courage to go and try something, no matter how foolish you might look or how, you know what I mean? I took a chance. So I'm proud of myself for that chance. And I truly do thank everybody from top to bottom. All the positivity has been unbelievable. Like, it's been, you know, sometimes it's too overwhelming where people are like, oh, you got the job. You got the job. It's easy. You got it. You got this. You know, you're the best. You know, nobody's better than you. And while I believe that in my certain abilities, I never want to get too confident. I really don't. And it's just the way it is. I'm not cocky. I'm confident in my abilities. I'm confident in what I'm able to do and how I can do it. Do I think I'm the best PA announcer ever? No. Do I think I'm the better one of all three others that competed with me in the finals? I think I'm up there. And I told you know, I've been talking to this kid, Nick, who's a finalist with me, that if in a perfect world, they would take two and it would be me and him. So, you know, we would tag team the shit out of this role. I'm not selfish by any means. If I got the job and they say, hey, listen, we hired all four, I would still say, thank you so much. You know, I'd be working for the Brooklyn Nets, and that's working in the NBA. And it blows my mind that, you know, I know I went off topic here, whatever. It blows my mind that my voice and my face and my videotapes are being reviewed by upper management. And when I say upper management, and I mean no bullshit, guys like Jay-Z are probably saying, okay, is this the guy for us? Like, Jay-Z is seeing my grill. So that in itself is like, whoa, you know, to get to the finals, you had a panel of judges. But in the finals, they got to go through so many things. And this is why it's probably taking a little longer than originally expected, because, you know, it's the guy. You're going to be the voice of the Brooklyn Nets, and that's a very prestigious role in any company. If you're, you know, the guy, look at Bob Shepard for the Yankees. He did it for fucking 90 years. You are the iconic voice of a professional sports team. So I totally get it, how long it's taking. And then even some of my friends are getting impatient, like, oh, I want to know. No shit. If anybody wants to know, it's me more than anybody. But again, one of those things where I'm being as patient as I can. I'm keeping busy. I'm watching my sports and all sorts of stuff. You know, I'm excited about everything that's happening to me. And like I said, even if this doesn't pan out to be the career change that I've been wanting and needing and desiring for the last decade of my life, it's not the end of the road. No matter what, it doesn't matter to me. There's no not like I will fight every day, tooth and nail, to achieve my goals. I think it's more important to set as many goals as you can, because once you achieve one of them, it's a trickle-down effect and things start to move for you. And that's the truth. It's a laws of attraction. If you attract good things will come to you. I promise you. With that being said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get Gino Gotts kicked in the head, and we'll also just grab a little tunage. And when we come back, I'll talk all my sports, all the upcoming events, and yeah, just a bunch of other stuff. A little catch-up with all you people, because I haven't heard or seen or talked to you guys in 2 weeks. So we'll be back right after this.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
Talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patting pockets. Take the dollar, dollar, can a damn soul stop it?
Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets, here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevated to claim my own throne. Success in my blood, call it homegrown. Poor's reaching to stop.
How you doing, everybody? This is Gino Gotts. I recorded a couple episodes today for you guys, but none of them seemed right. So this upcoming episode, it's not going to be your normal Gino Guts rant and rave. It's a dedication to my cousin who passed. And I'm sorry if it's not what you expected. I'll be back next week bitching and moaning and hating the rest of you. But this week's for Maddie. So, Dave, please do me the honor of having this on the podcast. And Johnny, if you could loop in, I don't know, Meet the Mets or something with the Dino Martin, that'd be great. This one's dedicated to you, Matt. What do you hear? What do you say? It's your boy Gino Guts. I'm back with the number 23 edition of Kicked in the Head, the Michael Jordan episode, the greatest of all time. Trust me, I know, because he ruined my childhood being a Knicks fan. But anyways, I digress. This episode is dedicated to my cousin Maddie. He passed away over the weekend. He was dealing with some cancer issues and, you know, he got put in the hospice and, you know, they say he's in a better place now. But the selfish in me wishes he was still around because he had the greatest personality of anybody I ever met. I'm proud and I'm thankful that I've known him for as long as I have because you just don't come across, you know, people like that. He's been in a wheelchair his whole life, as long as I've known him. And he's just an inspiration. He never let that bother him. He never let that, you know, not do anything because of it. He was always there for his family, his brothers, his nieces, his nephews, his cousins, everybody. If you said or did anything to one of his nieces, forget about it. This man, he will break your head, okay? Just don't. Just because he's in a wheelchair, don't come after his family. He's coming after you. You don't find many people that stay as positive as him throughout the whole time being sick. You really, unless you knew, you wouldn't have known. You just always happy. The biggest Mets fan I've ever met, and my family's full of them. But always positive. Always looking. And this one's dedicated to you, bud. I'm gonna miss you, and I'll see you when I get there. This is Gino Guts. You're only as good as your last envelope, so keep that hustle going, baby.
Thank you, Gino Guts, and a special shout out to his cousin. May he rest in peace. It was very nice of you to dedicate that to him. You know, we've all lost people in our lives, and we got to make sure that you take every single second in your life that you are alive on this earth and make it your best. And it's truly, you know, I'm sure that kid was an inspiration to everybody to stay positive, even with the cards that he was dealt. And, you know, like I said, I dedicated an entire episode to one of my best friends who passed away. And, you know, speaking of that, last week, the reason why, and I'll pull back the curtain here. I'm not afraid to admit to things. Last week, the reason why I canceled and postponed this episode of Destruction 101 is because I hit a wall. I hit a wall emotionally. I hit a wall physically. Everything just collapsed on Tuesday of last week where I was getting my lift in after practice. And I was at the gym and I was doing my normal whatever. I think I was doing chest that day. And, you know, halfway through the workout, I just felt something just overcome me and overtake me. And it was anxiety. And it's been a while since I experienced anything like this. You know, I've been able to conquer a lot of shit in my day, especially within the last year. I saw a therapist last year around this time. He's the one who pointed me in the direction of education. And, you know, it would have never led me to some of my friends and some of the people that I've met in the school and some people I've gotten actually really, really close with. And then on top of that, it would have never let me, you know, meet the student that I'm going to be with next year. You know, so it definitely did open doors and I hit a wall and I just couldn't move on. I don't know what it was, man. I think it's the anxiety and stress of waiting for the Nets. But again, that's out of my control, so I don't know why it affected me so much. I became a nasty, nasty person that day. I went out drinking that night, and like I said, folks, and it's not something to be proud of. you're not supposed to go out when you're angry or when you're upset, because that just leads to more bad things. It does. I don't care who you are. You cannot tackle the alcohol bug head on when you're upset or depressed. It does not mix. I'm telling you right now, it does not mix. I was safe about it, yes, but it just, I hit a wall. And for the rest of last week, since there was no shows or anything like that, I focused on me getting back to me and me trying to smile more. And I know it sounds corny or whatever, but that, I'm cool with that. It made me feel better about myself that I was able to pick myself up, dust myself off, and move forward. And here I am, you know, a week removed from this, and I'm good to go again, you know, and nothing changed. Nothing changed. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stress going into this. Oh, the house thing. I am buying a house, and it is probably one of the more stressful things I've ever done in my life. It's in a time where I'm making less money than I've ever made, especially because I'm not being paid to coach. In case you guys didn't know that, I'm a volunteer. I volunteer because that's the first step of getting on a paid job next year. So I want to make an impact with these kids this year so then they could bring me back next year as a paid coach. But anyway, so like I said, I'm buying a house right now and I have like $0. Not zero. Obviously, I have money, but the income has taken a break because what am I doing in August? There's no summer school. And there's nothing going on. And I worried about this. I did. I was worried about it going into it. And I kind of just put it on the back burner and said, I'll be fine. No worries. I'll just save my money differently and make sure I'm okay for a month. I didn't. I didn't do it good. And maybe you can attribute that to just free spending here and there. But to get a house, I mean, dude, they told me they're going to be monitoring my every single move until we close. And I believe we're going to close at the end of September for an early October move-in. Which, again, exciting shit, man. I'm going to have my own fucking house, and I cannot wait. There's no man cave, but there's a man attic, okay? It's very cool. I'll definitely, you know, once I'm in there and I set it up the way I want to set it up, I'm going to show you guys. And it's actually very unique. It's a finished attic. It's like its own little room. It's so cool. Totally sold me on the house. And that in between the backyard where I know I can host amazing parties and get-togethers and bashes and all this other shit. You know, it's going to be fun, and I'm really excited about it. However, getting to that point, it's harder. It's a lot harder than you think. Between all the stuff that you have to make sure of, you know, and just, we just had an inspection. So, like, the inspector's in there, like, well, this doesn't pass, and that doesn't pass. And now you have to go to the seller and basically say, you need to fix all this shit before we come in. And the seller can come back and say, fuck off, and then pull everything, and we have no house. So it's a very fine line. It's a very fine line to discuss with the seller of what you want. And listen to me talking like I'm a fucking real estate agent. Shout out to my real estate agent, though, by the way. But anyway, it's just been very stressful, but I've worked on it over the week. I've even talked to a friend saying, you know, it's not, you know, you're not fixed after a month or two of therapy. It's an ongoing thing, and she's right, and I, you know, do I want to go back to therapy? I don't think I need that. I don't think I need to go that route. I'm a very positive person as of late. But again, it was a wall and I hit it and it just happens. And I'm sorry for the lack of production of a podcast that I'm assuming does decent. I don't know the numbers anymore. I don't really crunch or ask the Wizards Tony, which, by the way, wow, didn't even plug that this whole podcast is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network and B+ Player Radio, Mark Adam Haggerty and company. So what else is going on? Oh yeah, so staying on the wrestling front for a minute, BBWF has closed its doors. This is apparent because their show got postponed or canceled or whatever. Regardless, I was booked on the show and I had to pull off because of something I had to take care of. However, you postpone it and then what? Then what do you do? It's like, I hate, there's nothing more than a postponed show, because then you have to rearrange your entire schedule, and that's not fair to the talent, and that's not fair to anybody. So it would have been made more sense if you just cancel the show, you know, just say, listen, I can't do it, refund everybody, boom, done. But again, not everybody's going to be as successful promoter of professional wrestling. Clearly, you know, people have a good idea of what it is to be a good running company. They have a good formula as to how to have a company stay up, run, and keep getting successful, like a WrestlePro, like a House of Glory, like a CZW. They know what they're doing in order to keep putting on shows and keep their companies afloat. Your ABC's soup, you know, alphabet soup of these companies were the XFW, WCW, whoever. You know, they don't all work out because of bad business or just lack of planning or just don't have a team in place. You can't do this all yourself. I'm telling you right now, I don't care who you are. Even Pat, you know, to this day, will promote the company. He is the guy ahead. But there is a whole office of people, including myself, that help out in every way we possibly can. And it's a team effort and everybody's on board and everybody is just happy. And just it's just one of those things where, you know, everybody's taken care of, you know. So it's very hard. And shout out to like the ones that do somehow make it, you know, who do are successful while they're working on their own. It's not easy. There's so much involved with running a professional wrestling organization. But yeah, so BBWF is done, meaning it's one less booking I'm going to have, which is fine because, you know, there's certain moves a promoter makes, and if you're not a fan of it or you're not happy about the moves that they're making, then you get out. That's it. That's it, you know, and I'm out now. So I didn't have to make any moves. The move was made for me. So that being that, just wanted to touch on that. I will not touch on things that happened at Battle Club because some of the things aren't supposed to be touched on. I will touch on the fact that while I was on commentary, I see a said individual who I've mentioned on previous podcasts, who I said not to come back to any of these New York promotions. Since then, he's gone and he's complained to Kevin Matthews about me, about how I was a bully and how I talked a lot of shit. But I guess what Kevin didn't know, and I smartened him up, and Kevin said, oh, wow. And then, you know, it's funny. And this is the God-honest truth. If you have people that are on WWE television or have been on WWE television and they're considering you a joke, an embarrassment, and annoying as all shit, then chances are, you are those three things. And I saw this said individual in a promotion at Battle Club that I didn't think I was going to see. And when I did see him, Carlos had mentioned it to me via like hand gestures that he was in the backstage area. I swear to God, you can ask Money Morales, you can ask Carlos. I almost got up off the commentary table during the main event. In the main event that I wanted to watch and see, I almost got up. I went to the back and I was going to drag him out by myself. And I would have. But I had a professional wave come over me and I said, be a pro. You'll take care of it when the match is over. The match ends. I go to the back to look for him. Turns out he ran and he's gone. If you do not belong in a wrestling locker room, if you do not have a role in a professional wrestling organization, company, anything, stay the fuck out of the locker room. Stay out. You are not welcome there. I don't care what you think you are, as far as a journalist or a podcaster or whatever the fuck role you think you have. It's not appropriate. It's not welcomed, and everybody hates you. There is no, I'm telling you right now, there's not one person I've ever asked, and this is the God's honest truth, would not lie about this. There's nobody I've ever asked that had anything good to say about this said individual. Do the math, and figure it out for yourself on who I'm talking about. I don't have to be cryptic or anything like that. You can check my Twitter feed, and you can see exactly what the fuck I said to him. So, stay out of the locker rooms. Whew, okay, breathe. Positivity. So, anyway, so these shows come and go. SummerSlam NXT just passed, and I'm very excited that they went in the direction of what I thought they would do. I swear to God, I said to my two best friends that I talk to on a group chat every day, and especially during the pay-per-views, I said, Brock's walking out of there with the strap because nobody has Brock in this match. Nobody. And I said, what a big F you would be to the smart Mark fans out there that if you gave him the belt and you had him beat your three biggest guys. And I think it worked out perfectly. And now I think the new feud that's happening right now and it's developing, Braun Strowman and Brock, will be big money business for this company. Chances are, if they want to give the belt back to Braun or give the belt to Braun, you can have one of the most dominating, you know, WWE champions of all time. He can run through his competition like a Goldberg-esque, like undefeated, never losing, all the way to WrestleMania. All the way to WrestleMania. And that's, I'm talking, what are we, August, September, October, November, December, March, April. Like 8 months of a title reign where he's just mauling people. I think that would work out because obviously Brock's going to go to his super fight, which I'm assuming will happen. But he gets to go out with some kind of nobility or whatever the case may be, and then come back for WrestleMania. And then be the big comeback story. Like Brock's training extra hard. He's got to, who's going to take down this beast? Because, you know, it works. Some of the fans are not a fan of Brock Lesnar because he's part-time. I think these people have to get, I think those people are too involved with pro wrestling. And like, I get it that you're a fan. I totally get it. But if you're just 1,000% against Brock because he's not there all the time, that's just silly. Just I don't even know, man. Like, it's so hard. And you know what? Big F off to the people at Monday Night Raw this past week with the beach ball. Enough's enough. You got two guys in there putting on a performance. And this goes for a lot of people. I unfriended this one girl on Facebook. I forget her name because she's irrelevant. But she posted a picture of her reading a book at a professional wrestling event as to say, oh, this match, I'm not interested in it, so I'm just going to turn off completely. And then she backs it up and says, oh, well, you know, I don't have to be interested in every match. Yeah, but you don't have to be disrespectful either. Bouncing around a volleyball during a match is disrespectful. Cesaro did the best thing I've ever seen a professional wrestler do to a beach ball. Okay, I know it's funny now and everybody laughs at it like the beach ball is over. Like, okay, great, you're funny, whatever. But what he did was basically said, F yourself for doing this during this match. Pay attention, you mark, bitch. Because then, the next day they're trying to do it, and that's not fair to a guy like Finn Balor or Jason Jordan when they're trying to put on this performance, and you're just going into business for yourself. You want to be over as a fan. You're a fan. You are a fan. You would belong on the other side of the guardrail. So what makes you think that it's okay to show that kind of disrespect to the people that are busting their ass in the ring right now? It's not. It's not okay. Be more respectful. Whew. Man, am I just all over the place today? But that's okay. So WrestleMania, SummerSlam and NXT. Awesome NXT. Really cool to see Adam Cole in there use a super kick. He's got that, I don't want to say it too early, but that Shawn Michaels-esque look. He's got the goods, man. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And now he's going to be in NXT feuding with Drew McIntyre for the belt. I mean, dude, you can't ask for more, like, exciting time to be involved with NXT and WWE Raw and SmackDown and all this shit. It's a very good time. And shout out, special shout out to that amazing security team last week. You know, Dan Moff, Chris Payne, Justin Carino, you know, all these guys that are in there from WrestlePro. You know, Bronson and Smart Mark Sterling from Creator Pro New York. Those guys are great. And they deserve to be there. I know, I believe that Eddie Franken was there too. And I think Bobby Wayward was there too. But Hawkins already told me that they cut a couple people right before the scene. Yes, does that suck? Yeah. But at the same time, you were there the entire time. You got to hear the roar of that crowd. And it was just something to, you know, to really fire you up about pushing and pushing and pushing. I'm glad everybody sold well and everybody did a great job except for one man who went into business for himself. That man shall remain nameless, and he may or may not be a former tag team partner of mine. But in my head, I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? And that does not look good. I'm sorry. It doesn't. I know that he became an internet sensation overnight, but at the same time, be a little bit more professional. Yes, did you get your followers and Twitter followers and all this other shit? I get it. I understand the mindset, but just, it looks silly. It looked very silly and phony, and that's the last thing that you want to look like if you're trying to impress somebody at WWE. So, moving on from wrestling, We're heading towards the greatest time of the year. And I'm not just talking about the NFL season. I'm talking about fantasy football season. And I've had one draft already, and I do like my team. However, I learned a lot that day. If you're a fantasy football fan, definitely do mock drafts on whatever website you use for your normal draft. Do mock drafts all over the place. I've been mock drafting my balls off, trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be there, where, and what, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I got the 11th pick in my draft this upcoming Friday. It's my money league. I've been running this league for 14 years. It's been really fun. This year, we're bringing in two new teams. One of the teams is a triple threat team of three of the wives of the players that are in this team. So we're excited to bring them in because it's A, it's funny. B, we want to see how they do. And C, we want to see who they beat first. Who's going to be their first victim? Because I've never seen a team go 0-12 in fantasy football. Or 0-13, 13, 14, 15, 16. Or whatever. 12, 13, whatever. I also have a draft coming up the following Wednesday with some of the stars from the WWE and some of the guys like Jay Silva and Raleigh, who, you know, they produced their one fucking shooting with the Source and Stallion and totally quit on me. So, no, they don't have time. They got jobs. They got lives. Well, yeah, sort of. But yeah, so that's going to be exciting too. It's a big trash talking league. I know Mike Bucci's in it. Kevin Keenan's in it. It'll be fun. And I'm excited to go into that league and dominate myself. So fantasy football, I can get on a whole episode of that, but again, there's plenty of podcasts out there for fantasy football. You don't have to listen to my voice about that. All right, let me take one quick second here. We'll get to your questions as I pull them up because I asked you guys for the questions, and I'm going to answer them right now. They might be a little old, which is cool. Jared Ross, Zeke, 6 games, Brown, 1 game, same crime. What's your opinion? Well, here's the thing. With Ezekiel Elliott, who has now since appealed his 6-game suspension to, you know, in accordance with the Domestic Violence Act of the NFL, A, the girl didn't say nothing. The girl couldn't cooperate. So therefore, everything was dropped, legally dropped. And the NFL took it upon themselves that because of the kind of the shitstorm that it created, that we're going to give this guy 6 games. So basically, it's a third of the season sitting on the sidelines, because, well, not even allowed in the building, because of something that didn't even get proven to happen. So how is that fair? Josh Brown, as he's talking about, was a kicker for the New York Giants. He admitted to beating the shit out of his wife over 20 times in this letter, this open letter. And he was suspended 1 game. You do the math. That's not very fair. Do the Cowboys, like, I watched their first team offense last week against the Colts, and they played obviously without Zeke, who's just being, you know, rested. I think he makes his debut this week against Oakland to play in the preseason. Because you can play in the preseason before you're suspended, which, again, what the fuck sense does that make? But that offense, that first offense with their offensive line, Dak, Dez, Beasley, Witten, Darren McFadden, they look like a well-oiled machine. So I think the Cowboys are going to be, I didn't say they're going to be better than what they would have been without Zeke, but they'll be okay. Last night, or as I'm recording, last time watching Monday Night Football, Odell took a dirty, dirty lower hit, man. I think it was dirty because that guy literally lowered his shoulder as Odell was in the air. Giants fans had to hold their breath for a good half hour as x-rays and all that shit were being done. Anyway, yeah, so is there fairness and justice of Zeke getting 6 games and that guy Josh Brown getting 1? Absolutely not. It's not fair at all. You know, I'm not going to bitch and moan about it. It's not my life. You know, it's not my career on the line. But as a Cowboys fan and a fantasy football player, you know, it affects a lot of shit. It affects a lot of people's money. It affects a lot of people's man. What the fuck? Where was I going with that? I meant to say it affects the people's money and affects the people's fanhood. I almost said manhood. I mean, it made no sense. But anyway, question of the week from Raymond Sanchez. What came first, the chicken or the egg? No, all right. What are your thoughts on Adam Cole finally passing all the tests and now going to be debut? All right, well, that one's kind of old because, yes, he debuted at TakeOver. If the Yankees don't make at least the wild card, does Girardi get fired? I wouldn't fire him. I don't know. First of all, they're in a good position right now to be that first wild card. I hate this idea of a second wild card, and I guess I hate it more because it worked against the Yankees to be in a wild card game and then lose. If you make the playoffs, you should make the playoffs, and that's it. Like, there shouldn't be like, oh, this is the playoffs too, even though it's only one game. Like, that's just disturbing to me. I hate it. But anyway, so going forward, should Joe Girardi be fired? No, I don't think so. I think we've been a competitive enough team with the least amount of options. This year, we surged, man. The Yankees surged to the moon. Judge was hitting everything. People were just playing better baseball. As they come off this series against Boston now, which they lost, it's over now. In my opinion, I think the division is out of reach. I don't think the Yankees have a shot anymore of winning the AL East. Now their only shot is to get into that one playoff game. If they get there and they lose, then that is more of a failed season than not getting there at all, because that means you busted your ass and you got there and then you couldn't finish the job with your ace. Their ace right now is obviously Luis Severino. Their other pitchers and the staff have been good but not great. Chapman is on another planet now. I don't know what happened to him. But now, that just goes to show you that baseball is a very mental sport. And if somebody gets inside your head, then things aren't going to work out as much as you'd like them to. But yeah, I don't think he gets fired. I think he has a great relationship with ownership. So that's to answer that, Tom Sobey. Jeremy Thompson, what's your favorite brand of beer? I am a Bud Light guy. I am a Yingling guy. And that's really it. I mean, Miller Lite when it's there, Coors Light if I have to. But other than that, I guess that's it. But thanks for your questions this week. As always, appreciated with that. So with that being said, I'm going to take off because the week ahead is great. I'm coming off my first scrimmage of being with the team over at Franklin. It was awesome. What a surreal experience it is to be on the sidelines of a game and just really just get excited about the players and the guys are just we're building relationships, and we scrimmaged two other teams today. It was like a tri scrimmage, which kind of worked out good. We had a good rapport, a good effort. We'll fix it all on tape tomorrow. We're gonna review some film, and it's really taking off, and I'm really really excited about it. So that's it. I'm getting texts right now. About protein pizza from Jay Silva. I will try my best to get involved with that. But anyway, so follow me on the Twitter at Dave Sturch, Instagram, Dave Destruction. No, Instagram, Dave Sturch. I changed that, I remember. Facebook.com/Destruction101 to follow the podcast Facebook page. Follow me on the old Snapper Chat, Dave Destruction 2. Follow Gino Gotts, follow the Shining Wizards, follow B-Plus Player Radio. These guys always do a great job promoting me. Go download the episode where Gino Gotts was just on the Wizards. And we'll take it from there. Have yourselves a great weekend. Enjoy the fight. We'll obviously talk about it next week, the big fallout. And enjoy your week, guys. Stay positive, stay hungry, and keep chasing goals and just knock them all dead. All right, have a good weekend, guys.
cling to memories while falling. Sleep brings release and the hope of a new day. Waking the